Welcome to Coffee Unleashed podcast. We're doing a little collab today. So we've got Coffee Unleashed podcast, and then we've got our drink culture guys here as well. So welcome to episode, I can't honestly remember what episode we're on right now for Coffee Unleashed,
sometimes.
But it's one of the episodes. So thanks for joining in again, Coffee Unleashed podcast, where we talk about coffee, business, and everything else that is in between. So thanks a lot for being here, watching either on Facebook or listening on the audio. As well as joining in again, everything that you guys do for us, it's all how we make it all happen. So thanks for joining in and being a part. Again, if you guys have questions about indie coffee roasters, or maybe you have questions we want to dive into on a future episode, you can email us at info@indiecoffeeroasters.com. That's the best way to jump in, and we would love to feature you guys, or maybe feature another shop or a podcast on one of our episodes. So that's my little spiel at the beginning. So what I do want to do is introduce our guests today. So we've got the guys from Drink Culture. So go ahead and tell us a little about yourself.
Hey. Fabian here, one half of Drink Culture. And then...
You got Jared here, Jared Bisco, the other half. And, you know, we started this probably... We always... argue about this. April 2017?
I would say April. That's when you can date it back to the first Instagram picture.
Gotcha.
That was before it was a podcast.
Yeah, and Fabian kind of brought the idea and said, hey, I want to do something creative. I want to do something cool. Let's do a podcast. And then you can kind of jump in there.
Yeah, so, I mean, the story's kind of, it's not crazy, but it really started with the text message. And I texted Jared and said, hey, man, do you want to do a podcast with me? Do you want to co-host? And, of course, he said yes. So had he not said yes... I'm not confident this actually would have happened, but at the time we were both, and we probably still are, avid listeners of another podcast called Bourbon Pursuit. So I think the original idea behind Drink Culture before it evolved to what it is now was, hey, we're going to talk about bourbon and we're going to talk about beer. And, you know, I think we shortly found out that we weren't as knowledgeable as we thought we actually are.
I would still consider you more knowledgeable. I'm the yes or no. I like it or I don't like it. He's more of the, oh, this tastes like this and smells like this and feels like this. And so that's where we kind of come back and forth on that.
Yeah. And that eventually morphed into kind of what it is now, where we kind of took that name Drink Culture and gave it this double meaning, right? So on our episodes, we do drink. So there's an aspect of drinking and learning about a specific beverage, whatever that is, coffee, kombucha, bourbon, beer, whiskey. But then really the more important part is drinking and culture. Mm-hmm. And Jared and I both, you know, have this belief that Indianapolis is a very unique and awesome city that we love, mm-hmm. right? So we wanted to give back and promote that city and really show people that there is amazing things to do here and that there are cool people doing cool mm-hmm. things. So that was really the impetus of like where that change happened and really going more on the drinking and the culture side of things.
Yeah. And, you know, the idea gradually turned itself into, and we always kind of use an analogy of NPR as mm-hmm. phenomenal podcast and the How I Built This Podcast. So it's like, why don't we do that, but more on the hyper-local level? So why don't we feature all those business leaders, entrepreneurs, personalities, people who are doing great things in our community, and feature those on a podcast versus... not telling those stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're not going to get Google CEO. We're not going to get Airbnb CEO, but we can get, you know, individuals such as yourself on the show and talk to other people who can prove that if they go out and do something and put their mind to it and just act on it, mm-hmm. that they can make a business out of it and create something in that community.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, that's a lot of similar to where we're at or where we came from. I was telling him a little bit before, you know, the biggest issue with really either starting a business, if you guys listening are doing that, or, you know, whether it's a project like this or, you know, an art project of some kind, usually it's, you know, the excuses that get in the way of like, well, I don't have this, or I don't have mm-hmm. for this setting, you know, I didn't have the mic set up, or I didn't have the camera gear, or so you just put off doing what's in your head for so long. And what we've continued to encourage even here, or, you know, whether it's any type of pursuit of any kind, is just put it out there, do it crappy at the beginning if you have to, and just get that thing rolling. And I think that's, I mean, that's a lot of where we came from originally, was just, you know, our podcast just started with, you know, a couple different people, and I just wanted to talk about coffee and talk about business and how that intersected. Mm-hmm. It didn't have to be anything fancy. But I loved what you had to say about, bringing people together and knowing that, we can feature people on these platforms that, aren't CEOs of amazing companies. That seems unattainable. But guys that are just doing what they're passionate about, and it feels a little bit more accessible, I think. So,
absolutely. You know, you get that, you know, that saying comes to mind of like, not all heroes wear capes, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at a CEO, like a Google type person, you know, you can apply that to the same people here that are running businesses. You're just like, man, how did that person do that? Right. And those are the stories that we want to get out there. Like you were saying, you just have to start doing it. And, you know, another thing that comes to mind is like, fail early and fail often, right? Get all those mistakes out of the way and just start doing it, because you will make excuses mm-hmm. to put it off as long as possible mm-hmm. and say, I don't have the information. I don't have the education. I don't have the resources. But if you really want to do it, you're going to do it, right? And that's overwhelmingly the message that we've, you know, received from all these people that have built their businesses.
Yeah, and you can even take that to another level and talk about, like, content creation, something we talked about a little bit ago. And Fabian and I have had this argument before, where sometimes people handcuff themselves because it's always, you know, quality versus quantity.
Yep.
Like, which side do you lean on? And in the beginning, I was really big about quality. He was really big about quantity. And now we're to the point where we found this happy little medium. But again, coming back to the point of people not taking action because they're like, well, it's not perfect, so I can't put this out there. We recorded 7 different episodes before we even put out our first episode.
Yep.
And we met on a weekly basis to talk mm-hmm. about, like, what are we doing with this? What's the vision? Who are we going to meet with? Who's our guest? Who are we going to schedule? And it was about a month or two worth of pre-work before we even released our first, I think 4 episodes at once we released, I think it was. So, I mean, there is a lot of work to be involved in. And, but eventually you just have to pull the trigger and do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think just from being, you know, thinking more in a business mindset as well, even, not that this is an excuse for local business, but people are, patient, I think, with, small businesses, to where there is an understanding that, you know, they're not coming to get the exact perfect, you know, piece of whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. But they want to walk alongside you along the journey. So, you know, it may look different a year from now, or may have improved in some way a year from now, but, the people that are on those grassroots levels, your customer base, they want to see the nitty gritty, and they want to see, you know, your process continue to improve. And that's obviously here with us. You know, we intentionally didn't launch this space until we felt like we were ready to take that next step. But there's still obviously things that we're learning, things that we're trying to improve on. But the great part is that I think the thing that you have to have, which we've talked about before, is a solid vision and mission for what you want to do. And people will be forgiving on the little things if they can buy into your mission of what you're doing, you know.
Absolutely. I feel that's like spot on. You know, I think we struggled a bit because Jared owns a business, and he said that kind of several times of what he does. But one of the things when we first started talking was, you know, a lot of it starts with the mission statement, right? You have to have those values of like, what are you doing? What are you providing? Because that's eventually going to guide those decisions that you will ultimately make down the road. And, you know, you kind of have to know what you're standing for. Mm-hmm. So that's cool that, you kind of were building upon that when you were putting this together.
Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest encouragement I try to give to listeners or anybody, you know, involved in even what y'all are doing is, you know, one, you can do it if you're passionate and you want to work your ass off and like kill it. And work really, really hard, you can get there. But the thing that you have to have is that solid mission and vision, because, you know, for us, you know, my wife and I had to partner with people that were in line with that mission and vision. And then out of that, you know, partner with a team, that team of staff that was willing to get behind the mission and vision and be, if you don't have that set in place, there's nothing for your staff to get behind. Mm-hmm. And then there's nothing for your staff to communicate to all your customers that, you know, this is why we do what we do. We just didn't want to be, you know, a coffee shop that serves coffee and that's it. You know, there was no depth to our vision, because there's way too many people in the industry that are doing it right, that we couldn't stand up against. But people come to our space because they love what we're about and they love who we are. But that has to start with, you know, your core values. Yeah. and your mission. And that's what makes it easy for me to wake up every day, because even on the, you know, the hard days, I know that I'm always driving back to that, you know, vision of what we want. So,
yeah, I think you alluded to it there, is, you know, every day isn't going to be this. You're not going to wake up and be like, yeah, let's attack it, let's get after it. So you kind of have to be able to understand the people that you're doing this for and the reasons why you're doing this. And, you know, I talk to Fabian about this all the time, of how many times I've almost texted him and be like, yeah, I'm not going to come to that recording. Like, I'm done with this. What are we doing here? And then, you know, we'll get this Instagram message or a Facebook message, and or someone at the gym will be like, hey, I listened to that podcast with, you know, United State of Indiana, and it was phenomenal. I loved it. It's like, well, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's great to hear. So, mm-hmm. you know, continuing to get that feedback and hearing that from people, I'm sure you've had that on numerous occasions where mm-hmm. someone walks in, they're like, I love this place. It's my mm-hmm. favorite place. And it gives you a reason, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think the honesty behind that from a business owner standpoint is, you know, there's awful days at times to where, you know, you don't want to come into the shop, or you don't want to deal with these issues or everything. You know, we had a couple weeks of that where it seemed like everything, every piece of equipment we had was breaking it in some facet.
It wasn't the mod bar, was it?
It wasn't. That they're great. It felt like everything was happening, and it's like, dude, I just don't want to do that. But, you know, then you have people come in, and, you know, they're still loving the space. They're still happy to be around and still happy to be here. And that's what, for us, you know, and for anybody, whether it's even a restaurant or liquor or anything of that level, where they're really trying to be an artisan of some kind in a category, it's predominantly not cup quality that will drive your customers to keep coming back. I mean, it's a facet of it, but your environment, your customer service, and why you do what you do is what will change people's routines, because it takes a lot to obviously develop your palate to, you know, understand the nuances of what we offer, but people can tangibly see that we take care of our customers and we serve them, because that's one of our values. You know, we want to serve our community that we're in, and that's why I strongly believe that people are coming back, because that's always obviously another caveat for people that want to open spaces, is like, well, how do I get the best ingredients, or how do I get the best equipment? Or, and yes, all those are important, mm-hmm. but you have to have the best customer service first. Like, yep. If you're a service industry or doing of any type of thing where you're serving the community, you know, that's got to be the best. And that's what I share with staff, is like, even if, you know, the espresso machine isn't pulling exactly right today or whatever, the thing that they can control is their attitude and how they always serve the customer. And that's what we feel like helps us stand out in a high level, is, you know, you feel like you're being served when you come here. And a lot of that, you know, I didn't learn a lot of that from any book or any, you know, anything. I just have encouraged our staff and encouraged the rest of the people who may be listening or whatever to think back to really good customer experiences that you maybe had, or really good experience, whether it's online or placing an order there and you got this killer package, or, you know, some awesome experience that you had, and try to replicate that on your end. And then even for you guys, you know, think about an amazing podcast that really changed, you know, your life, and try to not replicate that exactly, but take some of those avenues and think through that. And then even think on the other side, you know, what was an awful customer experience that you had? That was a lot of what we had our employees, when they interviewed, mm-hmm. we asked them, what is a good customer experience you had and what was a bad one? To get an understanding of, can they understand what a great one is and what a bad one is, and how do we, you know, fix that? So, yeah.
And do you guys offer continuing education with your staff?
We do. Yeah. So, we're, so we have our five core values, that's really what we run everything through. And our staff has, quarterly goals that whether they're 8 hours a week or 40 hours a week, they all have, you know, at least one goal in each of those categories. And each quarter, it's their job to complete those goals, and then it's our job to resource them to complete them. So we have some of our staff is they want to build a training lab for the rest of the team, so that's one of their goals to do that. We have we'll be launching Indie Coffee Roasters University, which I've talked about it before. Mm-hmm. But that's where we'll do public classes for the community. So some of our coffee staff will teach some of those and get better at communicating about coffee. For us, from a management standpoint, it was really important to put those values in front of them and then say, you know, we expect in a year from now, if you're still with us, that you've improved in some way in one of these areas. And that's why we want to give you the opportunity to do that. And whatever they need, you know, if it's running after one of those goals, we'll give it to them because that's valuable for us because we know it'll translate from a customer standpoint. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
So a little bit about, I want to dive a tiny bit into what you guys do and sort of the nitty gritty of drink culture and why maybe you wanted to start it and all that.
I'll let you go ahead.
Go Jared. For it, dude. You haven't talked a whole lot. You usually talk the most. So
are you kidding me?
Yeah, right.
I can't tell if that was a serious comment or not by Jared, but
Fabian admits that he likes hearing himself talk. So.
I do.
There you go.
So, you know, what really inspired this for me, and this, if this is different for you, Jared, by all
it
means,
is.
Give your own personal story here. But, you know, I've got two, everybody has two brains, not two brains, but two sides of your brain, right? You've got your data analytical, mm-hmm. I go to work and I punch these buttons, right? And that at a certain point kills you. Mm-hmm. And I've got this really creative side that I needed a release for. And, you know, overwhelmingly, I started to feel this like pressure of like, I'm not able to get this out there. And I've told the story about how I played music and all that. I was a really crappy musician. But, you know, that was my creative release. And I crave that. So a lot of the passion that's behind doing drink culture is being able to get out of like mm-hmm. that other analytical side and get this creative release, right? So that's one portion of it. The other portion of it is I suck at reading. Like I can do it, but I just don't comprehend it, right? My brain doesn't understand it the way that it should. So my way of learning is by talking to people. And I admire and am inspired by people who can go out there and start a business because it's something that I ultimately want to do. So getting the opportunity to get these people to give us their time for an hour or 2 hours is so valuable. So in a very selfish way, this was an opportunity to get these people to talk to us and really open up. Mm-hmm. So really, those are the two biggest drivers.
Yeah. You know, I kind of gave the hand signal because it's a selfish thing.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this on a couple of our earlier episodes, is the fact that it allows me to drive up to Carmel, which I don't do very often, and come to a coffee shop that I probably wouldn't have frequented. And now whenever I come up to Carmel, I'm going to hit the spot every mm-hmm. single time. And mm-hmm. that's what's cool about this is getting to meet new people.
Yeah.
Getting a network with new people and getting to see things that I otherwise mm-hmm. wouldn't have done because mm-hmm. I've always kind of been the guy, I wouldn't say I was in, like, you know, stuck in a little, you know, eggshell of just this was my little circle, but I kind of was that way. You know, like, I like something, I stuck to it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm starting to branch out a lot more and see different things and meet different people, which has been great. The other part, and I hate to agree with Fabian, is the other is the creativity aspect. Yeah. I've been running Naptown Fitness for 6.5 years, coming up on 7 years this August, September, October. And I love it. It's been phenomenal. It's changed my life. It's changed a lot of people's lives downtown as well as at our Monon location. But I wanted something else to spend time on. Something else, you know, again, using the kind of words he used, of a creative release. And this has been it. And I've developed great networks through the gym. There's a lot of people who are doing big things in a city who are members at the gym. So I was like, why not start talking to these people and learning from them? And that's, I guess, a third aspect of it all is I'm a huge fan of surrounding yourself with people who are better than you. That's going to make you a better person. And it's helped me tremendously. And I always encourage other people to do the same. So that's, you know, those are kind of my three reasons of doing this.
And I love, you know, what you said about sort of exploring the area that you're in. I think that it's been really, really cool to be a business owner in Indiana and just see the little bit of pride that, like, we've got for Hoosier grown businesses. Like, you know, not that we're against anybody else in the area, but, like, we're happy to be here. And, like, we want to, you know, a lot of people in the coffee industry talk about, like, okay, well, when are you going to move to the West Coast? Or, like, when are you going to, you know, head to Atlanta or New York or whatever? And we're like, we want to be the best coffee roasting company in the Midwest. Like, we love it here, and we love the culture that's being built around coffee and around local business and all of that. And we're not, you know, we're not about, you know, leaving the space that we're at to venture out into another culture. But, you know, we love where we are. And that's what I've loved about all the guys in the coffee industry in this, in the area, is, you know, all those guys have a heavy pride for Indianapolis and in Indiana, and it's really cool to see them start to be recognized, I guess, as a legitimate player in the coffee world. And it's not just New York and LA and Seattle that that people are looking at. So I'm excited about that. And what I would do with anybody listening, and I know this is a lot of what y'all are doing with the podcast, is encouraging people to step out of maybe their normal routine and try places in their community, whether if they're from Indianapolis, trying more of the new spaces that are coming up there, or if they're from the North Side, exploring their neighborhood and having conversations with us or business owners or things like that. To learn about where things are coming from and have a little bit of pride in their neighborhood. And that's been really cool to see a lot of these little, not little, but great businesses pop up that have a solid vision and want to do it right. So,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah. But yeah, and then I'd love to know a little bit more about drink culture as far as what you guys are hoping to accomplish in as far as with this platform and what you're thinking with that.
Want to go for it?
No, go ahead.
Take the lead. Yeah, a couple different things. I mean, we want to continue to stay consistent and release an episode every single week for an entire year, which is coming up, and then continue that. At the end of the day, we also want to grow that brand. And if that means to have different sections of drink culture, so more of a drink culture food and beverage, or drink culture entertainment, or drink culture, having different little niches within that group. Something we don't talk about often, she's been co-hosting a few of our episodes, but Haley is a student at Butler senior year. She's reached out to us and is now working with us. So we have a team member who's also very interested in the city that's coming through. And we've been contacted by a few other people who are also developing podcasts, something similar to us, that strangely enough look up to us after only us doing this for 9 or 10
months.
Only
because we're taller.
That might be it. So it's been cool to sort of, you know, be kind of put in on that level And I don't know if it's because we've treated this as a professional venture mm-hmm. since the day we started.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, what's a little bit different in how we've sort of differentiated ourselves versus some of the other. We talked about this off air a little bit ago about a lot of the different Instagram handles and different Facebook pages of people that are trying to take pictures of Indianapolis or do uh-huh. different things in Indianapolis. And, you know, it's tough. It's a grind mm-hmm. to get to that point. So mm-hmm. kind of come back full circle to your question. You know, the future, what we're trying to do is, you know, we like to think in big, hairy goals type mm-hmm. atmosphere of, you know, what can this be 3 years from now, 5 years from now? And one of our goals is to find somebody or people similar to ourselves in other cities. So if anyone's mm-hmm. listening to this and they're in another city and they want to start exploring their city, mm-hmm. that we want you. We want you to be a part of the team.
Sure.
We're not going to pay you because we don't pay ourselves. We don't make money. But if you want to start exploring and use this sort of format, use the name Drink Culture and talk to us about that, like shoot us an email, drnkcltr@gmail.com, because we're looking for, you talked about the Midwest, we're looking for Cincinnati, we're looking for Columbus, we're looking for Louisville, we're looking, Chicago's too big, so we're skipping over that. But those are the type of cities that have the very have a very similar demographic mm-hmm. And a feel that Indianapolis has, and we want to bring those, a Drink Culture Cincinnati, a Drink Culture St. Louis, and mm-hmm. different things of that nature, so people can continue to explore those who are doing cool things in the city. So,
And to build on that, it's really, you know, one, I just want to say that, you know, taking that business mindset to it kind of happened organically. I don't think either of us set out and said,
this is
going to be a business.
It wasn't about making money.
But
now that we're spending a lot of it, we're...
We're trying to recoup some of
that. We're trying to figure that out.
To this day, I still think that that's not a driving factor behind what we do. If the money's there, that's awesome. Definitely not why we set out to do it. But, you know, goals for me is to really build this as a community. There's a lot of romanticism when I talk about, like, what that means for Indianapolis, right? I want to do something to give back. And if the conversations that we have create a tighter community in a relatively larger city, that's the ultimate goal, right? Growing, it's going to be great. But if we can build a community where people are invested in the people that are invested in the city, right, we're doing something good. I would love to have somebody listen to this episode, get motivated and inspired to drive up here from downtown and say, oh my God, I love this coffee shop. I heard him on your podcast and now I'm invested. You know, one of the biggest compliments that we get is when somebody listens and says, you guys are talking about it and I want to drink it right there. Like, where can I go buy it?
Sure.
And then that'll spawn off into Jared's idea of, like, how do we create a box where people get this as a subscription,
which might
be impossible, but
I'm the creator. It never ends up. Yeah. So like, there's always ideas.
To go into what Jared was saying, where we're dropping this into other cities, it's like, if we can create a model where people are getting those communities tighter, right? Getting people invested, like, that's really where I want to see this grow. So, you know, we are looking for those cities that are not too big, because I think that this model may not work in those cities, although, you know, it might. It might bring those places closer together. And I'm not saying that we're doing this magnificent thing, but just if we can get into, like, a Cincinnati and help them out, right, and find those people that are really ingrained into their community where they can reach out to their networks, like, that would be great. And I think that we've done an okay job so far, but there's so many people that we're going to continue to talk to that will let everybody else know what's going on and really build that community that, in my mind, like, I really want to see.
Well, to add to that, your answer was much better than mine, by the way. Very much more political. Mine seemed like I was out there to grow some big conglomerate.
He's a politician at heart.
God, I forget what I was going to say now.
Again,
I knew that was gonna happen.
Jared said I do like to hear myself talk.
I forget my whole point there, I apologize. I'll come back to it.
Well, you know, we're real and raw here. So it's a real deal.
That's how it rolls.
Yeah. No, I think, and this is for any small business or any... I hate using that word, but any more local business that's trying to do big things, exposure at the beginning can be difficult. Fighting through the noise can be... I got you. Fighting through the noise can be tough. And that's why for us, I mean, that was really somewhat of what spawned the podcast. We want to give back to other business owners and be an open book and share with them what we're doing right and maybe what they're doing right and how we can make that work. But the other side of it too was just exposure. You know, there's, you know, 30 coffee shops in Carmel, and you know, Indy Star or Indy Monthly or these bigger publications may not be right on the list to talk about your local business, you know, which is sad, but you know, they've got bigger fish sometimes to run after.
Well, and even then, like, that's dead media, yeah. Right? Like, you get a couple words on a page. No one's going to get invested on a couple words on a page or even a picture, right? Like, this longer format, this new media is where it's at, right? Yeah. That's where you feed into that investment.
A perfect example is, you know, I knew I was coming up here, and I made my morning to the sense that I could carve out some time to listen to a few of your episodes of the podcast. And when I got up here, I'm like, oh, yeah, I feel like I know him now, you know, and I feel like I have that little a bond now of some sort, just because I've listened to you go through two or three different episodes.
Yeah.
And guess what? I was driving while I was doing that. So, like, you can kill two birds with one stone and learn about a business and learn about people. Yeah. And that's ultimately, and that's kind of coming back to my point was, you know, you reached out to us last week or a couple weeks ago and it's like, hey, let's get together and let's collaborate. And we're like, awesome, this is great. And that's the cool thing about Indianapolis. That's the cool thing about these smaller cities. You know, I always kind of equate Indianapolis to be pretty even to Cincinnati. And guarantee you can reach out to a business owner there and 95% chance they're going to say, yep, let's get together, let's talk. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily going to happen in New York City or Chicago. Not to pick on them, but that's kind of reality there because it's just a bigger place. People don't have the time. So that's what's been another cool aspect of this whole medium.
Yeah. I mean, I would really, you know, what I've learned from other business owners and what I've learned from, you know, other guys like you guys is, you know, if you are passionate about something, maybe you're not wanting to start a business or, you know, for our end, maybe you really want to learn about coffee roasting or you want to learn more about the coffee process or things like that. Like, don't let the amount of Instagram followers scare you out of, you know, sending a message or commenting or sending an email or, you know, I spent so much of my time as I was getting this thing rolling over the last 4 or 5 years of being afraid or putting the guys that I did look up on a pedestal and saying, like, why couldn't, if I reached out to them, they wouldn't like say anything or they wouldn't, you know, whatever. And some of them didn't, but some of them did. And that
we've got our own little list of people who still haven't responded to us.
Right. I mean, let that fuel you, right? Because one, it's aspirational, and two, it's motivational, right? So you aspire to have these people reach back out to you, but the ones that don't, you're like, all right, cool.
Well, yeah, and I'm like, don't be scared, man. Don't be afraid to reach out to somebody that you look up to. I heard it from a couple different guys, but if there's people in the industry, you know, listening or anything else, people in the industry that look up to another larger business or maybe it's an individual, you know, send them a message and say thanks for, you know, inspiring you do something, you know. And we've gotten some of those, and we've you know, I try to make a point to get their info and try to meet with them or whatever, which is weird in general to have people look up to me or what we're doing. But you know, I want that guy out there in California, if you're listening, Cat and Cloud, Chris Baca, I've tried many times to reach out to you. I'm just telling you, giving you props. That's it. I don't want anything. But those guys you look up to for their craft or maybe what they're doing, let them know why, you know.
Absolutely.
Share an awesome word with them and let that be it. You know, don't, you know, try to get something from them or because they get that all the time. Yeah. But let them know you love what they do and they've inspired you to do that. Because I know when I receive messages like that, that's what continues to fuel me to get up every day and know that we're doing something right when somebody reaches out and said that we've inspired them to, you know, do their next thing.
Yeah. And one of the things I loved what you said was don't look at your Instagram followers, your Facebook followers and be dejected by that, because I do that on a daily basis. Yep. When we first started off, you know, it was like, oh, we got 50 people following us on Instagram. And then, you know, but even today, we've almost been doing this for an entire year and I always look at them like, is this really worth our time? Like, we just hit 200 people on Facebook. Yep. Like, you know, we should have 10,000 people on Facebook. That's what we want to ultimately get to. So people know about this and share this. But at the same point, there's only 200 people on our Facebook page that like and see our content. But that's 200 more people than would have, and same thing with Instagram. Like, we're only at 1,400. Mm-hmm. We have a goal of getting to 5,000 by the end of the year.
1,429.
Sorry, 1,429.
About to be more of those that are watching right now.
So, you know, don't let that kind of bring you down as well, because it's going to grow. It just, you know, we were talking about this morning, just we keep getting messages from people and keep talking to people and keep running into people. They're like, this is awesome. And it doesn't show it by the numbers, but we can see it within the community itself and feel it, I should say.
I think it's, you know, we all want to get rich quick and even get rich quick on social platforms and whatnot. But I think we forget that, like, everybody starts at zero, man. Yep. Like, you start a business, you're at none, you know? And it's all about, you know, and this is why we do this. This is why y'all do it. It's putting out meaningful content that helps somebody or serves somebody in some way.
For sure.
If you're putting out garbage junk that it doesn't really bring value to people, then why would they, you know? So, you know, if you're putting out things that are meaningful, or, you know, putting out things that bring value to people and bring value, you know, to you as the person that's doing it, then all of that stuff will come. It's just a matter of time. And it can feel like a grind, because you see people that are doing ridiculous stuff that have way too many people watching what they're doing. But you'll get there. And, I think it's very important, like you were saying, you know, sort of joking on it, but celebrate, if y'all are business owners that are starting brand new, celebrate the little stuff. Like, when you hit 50, man, celebrate it.
Yeah,
like,
that's what
when
keeps you
hit,
going.
Yeah, you know. When you hit 1,000, like, have a big party or something. Like, don't be shy to get excited about these goals that you have. And also don't, you know, only create goals that are like, well, I want to be at 10,000 followers in 5 years. Okay, well, what are you going to do this year or this month or this week to get anywhere close to that?
Yeah.
You know, so that type of tangible stuff is important.
That leads me to a book I'm reading. I listen to audiobooks.
Yeah, Jared can't read.
I can't read.
Not a sponsor, but they're awesome.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yet.
Yeah. Maybe in the future. But Power of Moments is a phenomenal book. Chip and Dan Heath, I believe, are the authors of it. Highly recommend it to anyone who is in the platform of either creating a business or creating a community.
Yeah.
Because it talks about, you know, the name of the book, The Power of Moments, about how to create these moments for people to make that brand everlasting in their brain. And that's one thing you had said about creating value. One of my life rules is every single day, try to walk away from that day learning one new thing.
Yep.
Because I think too many people get too caught up with, God, I have to learn three or, four, five, six, 10 different things today, or like whatever the case may be. Just walk away and just learn one new thing, and you're in a great spot. And coming back to our podcast, I just ordered the book Ready Player One because we talked about it. I have no idea what it was. I didn't see it. I didn't know there was a movie. I didn't know it was a book. I didn't know it was anything. And it just, we just talked about it. And so I was like, well, I need a good book to read.
Sure.
So bought it for $8 on Amazon, came in yesterday, and can't wait to start it.
Like actual book?
Yes. Oh, I actually did buy a book. Yeah, I know. That's step
okay.
up.
This I'm down for
this
that.
This is going to be a huge tangent story, but I don't want to forget
it.
So we went out downtown. We were on Mass Ave last weekend, and this dude gets out of an Uber. It's him and his girlfriend, and he gets out of this Uber, and he puts a beer can down on the ground. Right? And so Kristen is like, hey, you're littering. You're a litter bug, right? So this is a callback to an episode where my wife was obsessed with Jared talking about litter bugs. He went on this heated freaking soapbox thing about how he hates litter bugs.
It's our community.
Sure.
You know, no one else is picking that up.
So to your point, so Chris is like, oh, you're a litter bug, you're a litter bug. He's like, oh, it's all right. Somebody's going to pick it up. So I go, really? Who's going to pick it up? The invisible man?
Boom.
Right? No, I don't think so. And then we walked away.
Burn.
I'm assuming he was drunk, right?
I don't know, but he didn't follow us, didn't try
that
to fight me.
That was his sixth can he put out.
That was, it was just so funny because I love when Jared goes on these stories, but I had to get that out there because it was perfect.
Well, I mean, that's the issue with starting up, man, all the time is people do that excuse. They're like, oh my God, we've gotten that so much. It's like, oh man, we needed a coffee shop here.
Yeah.
And part of me is like, well, thanks for waiting because we can be here. But like, you needed a coffee shop and you're passionate about coffee. Why didn't you do it?
Oh yeah.
Like, and they're like, oh, well, someone will, or oh, like wait for something, or, you know. And I think that, again, back, and we've sort of nailed down sort of what we've been chatting about. And I think it's the fear of, you know, starting up, or that those things that hold you back, or those things that are pulling you down. And just like, it's no one else is going to do it. No one else has the passion or vision for what you want to do. And that's what makes each of us unique as individuals. So go and freaking do it, you know, go. Oh, yeah. So,
and you're right. We are each individual and unique, because my approach to what this is 100% different than Jared's approach, to what it is. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think him having a business background, that's how he attacks us. And that's very evident in the questions that he asks. Right. And then the way that I approach it is in a completely different way than he does. So we've got these different motives that really help kind of blend together and create something cool. But not to say that we couldn't do it individually, but, you know, we each bring something different to how we're going to build it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Type of thing.
Well, is there any other stuff, maybe some upcoming things that people can be looking out for as far as what you guys got going on coming up?
We're actually meeting with a printing company tonight. We're pretty stoked about, to start getting some apparel out there.
Nice.
So it's something we've wanted to do for a while.
Nice.
We just, you know, coming back to the finances.
Yeah.
We finance this whole thing on our own. So we're trying to put some stuff out there, t-shirts, you know, possibly some koozies or some coasters, something of that nature, to start getting a little bit more of the marketing side.
Yeah.
But also to put out some solid apparel. So
we're
looking to do that. Yeah. We've had couple people message us recently. We had a t-shirt run that we did, but they went pretty quickly to different sponsors and different people that are helping us out with this. So we're already out of those, and we need to get through another run. So that's one.
Sure.
Two things that I can add to that. One, we are looking to source some sponsors, right?
Okay.
So I'll throw out a shameless plug out there.
Yeah.
Now, I will put the caveat out there that we are very particular with the type of people that we're looking for. So certainly don't let that scare you. But if we say no, you know, any time that you water down your message with asking somebody to pay for something else, you have to really, really think hard about who words you want to put out there. So again, we are looking for sponsors, but at the end of the day, just because someone offers us money doesn't mean that we're going to do it.
Sure.
So they have to align with things that we like and love, but also that we think our listeners and the community would love as well.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. The other one, and I think you're going to be involved in this as well, is the Indianapolis Cup put on by our good boys, not good boys,
our
good friends, the T-Boys, Tinker Coffee.
They're your boys.
Yeah.
Man crushed, whatever. No big deal. But we're actually going to be doing live podcasts, rotating with the people that are going to be doing the cupping sessions.
And
I think we're going to work in an episode with Mod Bar as well. So we'll be in the VIP area there.
Mm-hmm.
So we are really excited and looking forward to that.
Cool. Yeah. And we're, a vendor at that event.
Yeah.
I think we had a wedding last year that we were at during Indy Cup, but we're psyched to be there with them, bring the team, and do all that stuff with them. On our end of things, we've talked about this a little bit ago, and you'll see it a little bit more on Facebook and Instagram, but we're doing something we call Crosstown Throwdown, where we're doing a sort of Olympic-style throwdown event where our shop is going against The Well and Fishers. So sort of a crosstown battle where we'll do a little bit of coffee competition with them and sort of crown a winning shop. But the big goal behind that is we have a person on our building team who helped get the space be what it was, who got diagnosed with cancer. So she's rolling through that whole process, and we just wanted to do something that could help their family and help support them in any way possible. So all the proceeds from that event, whether it's t-shirts or stickers or your ticket to get in or any of that, that'll all go 100% to them, which is great. And that's why we want to do it. So that'll be at the end of the month. I believe it's the 25th of March. So come out. It's open to the public, not to compete, but, you know, to watch. We'll have some raffles. We're going to get some food trucks in here.
Nice.
We're working with some different vendors on that. So we're just hoping to get as many people out here as we can to help support her and her family. So be looking for that Crosstown Throwdown. We're going to have some really cool gear, too, for that. My wife, Jenny, came together with a sick logo.
Nice.
So we're excited about that. So be looking for that.
Send us some info on that for sure. We'll blast it out.
Cool.
And I do want to blow your spot up right now. That Yergachev shot that you guys pulled was delicious. So if you guys haven't been here, come get that.
Yep.
From what you told me, Alex said that they are on the last leg of the
Yergachev
until
like,
next year.
10 pounds left. And,
which isn't a lot. That can go
today. It could
go
this week. We're thinking by the end of the week. So
let's make it happen.
If you want some crazy espresso, come up here. And granted, we will have another great one coming on the other end, but we do like it. So cool. Well, thanks, guys, for being here. We appreciate you jumping on. Thanks, everybody who was able to watch. And if you're watching in post, thanks for doing that as well. Again, make sure and follow them on Facebook. Drink Culture's linked in the description, as well as on Instagram. Blow up all of that stuff. They've got awesome stuff there. And then are you all on iTunes and Google Play? Or are you, where's the podcast?
All of the above.
Okay, cool.
And then our website, when we release our episodes, they go out at midnight on Sunday.
Okay,
and so
cool.
They're out Monday mornings.
Awesome.
We've got a newsletter. So we're really trying to push that newsletter. Go subscribe. That'll have the episode every Monday morning. We do our favorite three. So we give a couple recommendations on what to listen to, what to eat, what to drink.
Yeah, yeah.
Any events that we are involved with or really want to promote will be on there.
Cool.
And then we've got a Patreon that people can support we're doing. And we're actually working on the t-shirt for the highest tier subscribers today.
Cool. So I'll put all of that in the show notes on this episode as well
description.
and in the description, and you guys can definitely follow all their stuff and subscribe. So thanks again, guys, for jumping in.
Thanks for
being here.
Yeah.
Again, if you guys have any questions for me about Indie Coffee, you can email us at info@indiecoffeeroasters.com, or maybe you have another person you want to see on a future episode, let us know. Again, info@indiecoffeeroasters.com. If you want to come and hang out with us, come up to Carmel, 220 East Main, and enjoy some coffee, as well as maybe if you're from afar, you can buy all of our stuff online at indiecoffeeroasters.com. Thanks again, guys, for being here, and thanks for jumping in. And always remember to drink your coffee unleashed. Thanks, guys.
Dig it.
Thank you for having us, and know your city.